G'day everyone, welcome back. This week's episode is called Megalithic Mysteries, The Sacred Grid. This one's been in the bag for a little while. We've got a couple of back-to-back episodes we did a few weeks ago. We've had such quality guests and such good podcasts that we just let them go and let them stew. You know, it's Angus and I. It was our first proper podcast in the refinery after it was done, which was interesting. It was very cool. And it's something we've been talking about for a while. Theoretically, there's a grid that surrounds the planet and a lot of the megaliths around the world line up on it. Some of them don't, some of them do. And there's a few different interpretations on how to look at this grid and whether or not there is something to it. So Angus and I sat down to unpack this one in our usual way. It was good to dive down a bit of a different rabbit hole. And this one actually has a back-to-back episode. It's like a part one, part two, sort of. Because the next week's episode is Ancient Aliens, which is something we actually have been requested to put our 10 cents in. And I'm not going to go too far into that. It's not as, we don't go as woo-woo as you would think. So, however, we still explore all different options. I think that there is definitely something to the grid, spoiler alert, and so does Angus. But what it is up to you guys and how you interpret it. We unpacked as much information as we could in the time that we had and put this little podcast together for you. That's about it for this week, guys. A bit of a late intro, a bit of a late post. However, I'm going to post this directly after I do this. Hope everything's well. Hope you're all good. Things are moving again behind the scenes here, and we'll have some announcements to make in the near future. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your support. Instagram, Facebook, all those things. And spread the word, guys, if you haven't. And please, 5 stars on the Facebook page, on Apple, or any of the apps that you have if you have a rating system, because that helps us bump up the statistics. Again, thanks for your time, guys. Enjoy everlong. Thanks very much. Cheers.
1, 2, 3, go. Out of her head she sang. Come down and waste away with me. Down with me. So wanted it to be. Over my head, out of her head she sang. And I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever. If anything could ever be this good again. The only thing I'll ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She sang. Breathe out. I can breathe you in, hold you in. And now I know you've always been. Out of your head, out of my head I sang. And I wonder, I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever. If anything could ever be this good again. The only thing I'll ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She sang. And I sing along with you. If everything could ever feel this real forever. If anything could ever be this good again. The only thing I'll ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say when. She sang.
Everyone, welcome back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Coming to you from the refinery. We realise this is actually mine and Angus' first podcast. Just the old guard, mate.
Yeah, mate. It's yeah,
first just, one. So
first one back in the refinery. It there's a sense of occasion about this one, I believe.
There is, and it's something we want to look into for a little while. And we are dabbling back into the megalithic structures to a point, because we've always heard about, and we'd spoken about it before, and I'm pretty sure we would have mentioned on the podcast, the fact that some of these sites line up and the fact that there's a grid essentially that covers the earth.
And essentially there's a few different designs of this grid.
There is.
And we're going to cover a couple of those tonight. And I guess this takes us back to fucking... We should go right back now and set the scene with old Plato.
Plato.
Fucking Plato.
He seems to be wound into pretty much everything, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he's a very important historical figure. Basically, a lot of
Western culture and philosophy is basically. It's based on his work.
Well, that's right. That's right. He was the founder. Like, there was teachers before him.
Well, he was Socrates' famous pupil.
That's right. With Aristotle as his pupil.
Yes, Aristotle as his pupil. So it's those three men that basically.
And then you had fucking bit of Herodotus and Plutarch.
Pythagoras was there, Palamedes.
Yeah.
And those guys were in there as well.
All of different time eras, though, but they're the important historical figures.
But Plato just seems to be...
He seems to stand out, doesn't he?
He does. And it's his theory that we're going to unpack first. And he had a basic structure of the earth... evolved from geometric structures, now known as Platonic solids. Now that's actually we're back heading down the sacred geometry path. It's these shapes rule our existence. Like molecules are in these shapes, cells are in there, you know what I mean? That crystals grow like that, you know what I mean? That these are shapes that are
100%. And I guess it's the pentagon. That forms the basis for Plato's Platonic solid 12 of the earth.
Yeah, 12 pentagonal faces with 20 vortices at the intersecting points. Now, the one we've got up here, it's actually, if you go to the Facebook page, the article's there, the planetary grid that we've got here.
Yeah.
You run those pentagonal surfaces... and then obviously you crisscross lines in between them, and a pattern develops.
And there seems to be a lot of ancient structures, either placed on a vortice or on a intersecting line that joins them.
Mm. And mainly along a horizontal line. You know, you're talking... what we're looking at here is the planetary grid, sacred temples. You'll be able to pull it up on Google if you want. But there's 38 structures that line up with this grid. And I think it's worth going through them. So I'll just
rattle a few off, mate.
I'll just rattle them off. I'll take a deep breath.
Work from left to right. What do we got over... We start in Africa, don't we?
No,
we start in the Americas.
No. It starts actually in Europe. So the Staines megaliths, Silbury Hill, Stonehenge, Locker Maria Quia megaliths, the Karnak stones, the Mahoj Passage tomb, Yazili Kaya sanctuary, the Great Pyramid, Temple of Luxor, the Valley of the Kings, the Philae Temple, the Eldia Monastery, the Ziggurat of Ur, the Balm Citadel, the Mohenjo-Daro, there you go, the Virupashka Temple.
Angkor Wat's down around that area,
yeah,
isn't
we're
it?
Getting there, man. The Sirian Gam Temple, the Wamis Warim Temple, the Patala Temple, giant Lishan Buddha, the Prang Pyramid, Angkor Wat, Tana Taraja Tombs, Imperial Tombs of Zia, the Jan Gun Chong, this is probably into China.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, the Moai statues, which we want to touch on those as well. Tiwanaku, the Gate of the Sun, La Porta Taramaka, Machu Picchu, Tazmul Pyramid, the Köppen Ruins, the Pyramid of the Sun, the Tikal Temple, El Castillo, Chichen Itza, the Crystal River Mound, the Emerald Mounds, the Monk's Mound, and the Grave Creek Mound. All line up on this planetary grid. If you apply that.
If you apply the grid to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it may be either on a pentagonal line.
Yeah.
Or didn't we say there was something like 120 equilateral triangles?
Yes.
That can all, by joining the dots of the pentagons, can also be formed.
Yeah, that's right. And within those... So when we say vortices, we must...
Well, let's go into what the grid is kind of meant to be mapping, really.
Mm.
And it's meant to be mapping like the magnetic flow, the energy field.
Yeah, the electromagnetic
around, field. Around the Earth. Yeah. And the theory is that these vortices are kind of like hotspots for that magnetic field.
Which they have measured.
It's a concentration.
Yeah, it's a concentration of electromagnetic fields, yeah. And they have measured that, and we already do know, we've discussed that they have measured a field coming out of the top of the Great Pyramid.
Mm,
And out of most pyramidal structures, there seems to be an energy source at the top. I mean, and since we've looked at a few other things, you know, you build a copper pyramid and grow a plant inside it, and it grows nearly twice as fast as if you don't.
Mm.
If you have a plant right next to it.
Yes.
There's something to that structure.
Yeah, there is.
Which magnifies energy in some way. And mainly the structures that are found are pyramids of a type, aren't they?
Well, let's just look at it for a second. Break it down into like something in present day that I feel helps to explain what we're talking about. With the emittance of hertz from the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
So we're talking about energy and vibration.
Mm. Right? And everything is energy.
How do we capture a very common form of vibration? It's sound.
Yes.
Through our ears. Now, something that we can do is if you funnel that vibration into a smaller area, it becomes louder.
Mm.
Like if you put like some kind of trumpet-shaped device up to your ear.
Mm.
Put just a simple funnel up to your ear. And it will actually collect all the vibrating air from that way. And it'll be louder.
Exactly, yeah.
So if you have essentially a cone, a eight-sided cone-shaped figure or sitting on something that is vibrating that has at a certain frequency.
Yeah, it has some frequency that it's for, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
within the spectrum. Because the Earth is vibrating at that at a frequency. Well, it collects that and emits it at a louder, louder form.
Which is, I mean, and look, we discussed this a little while ago. It's sending a signal. You know, that's where's it going? And we'll get into more of that later. However, I suppose it's interesting that, you know, not a lot of people would probably know that there's electromagnetic fields governing the Earth's surface. You know, between the north and the south poles and all that sort of stuff. And
no, does. But I think everyone knows about the most common one, which is just magnetic north and magnetic south.
Exactly.
But has anyone, does anyone, like the fact that there is a north and a south pole, does anyone really kind of know how and why that works that way?
Well, it's and the way in which, it's apparently currently switching too, just for the record.
And the way in which the poles are switching.
Yeah, the poles are switching, yeah.
The magnetic poles are switching.
Yeah. Apparently it happens. It's in the process of happening right now.
It does happen. Ice cores have shown that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's currently... Yeah,
it does happen.
It's currently happening.
It's currently happening.
Yeah.
How long is it meant to take?
I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if they disclose that in their theories. Yeah, by this date it'll be switched.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You could have been clickbaited.
Could have been. Oh, look, man. I follow the rabbit hole wherever it goes.
Oh, yeah, man. Open mind. Open mind.
But look, I think the reality is that these monuments, not only are they amazing, however, I think we just need to reiterate, go back to our old friend, the Great Pyramid, and remember that it's like a 1 in 3 billion chance that that pyramid would be placed in the geographical center of the Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On the prime meridian.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which was funny when I'd known the terminology for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I never knew the exact meaning of it. So what it is, if you draw a circle through the largest land masses around the Earth horizontally, So latitudinally, and then if you draw another circle crossing the most land mass north to south, so longitudinally, where they intersect is A, Giza, and then B, on the opposite side of the Earth in the ocean somewhere.
In the Atlantic Ocean?
Possibly. Dun, 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 dun.
And Plato rears his head again and tells us the story of Atlantis. That's where it came
from. Exactly. Through, you know, what was his books? Timaeus and, oh, I don't know, yeah, I butcher it, like Thaddeus or something, yeah, I don't know.
We didn't look into that, let's not
yeah,
bite off more we can
chew. Crucify me on the second one, but Timaeus is definitely right.
However, yeah, he mentioned, and again, like we sort of go back to everything where we started, that 11,600 years ago, or 12,800 years ago.
Well, somewhere between there, because it was meant to be a series.
Yeah.
A series of impacts through that time, like a comet breaking up or something like that, throwing things around in an orbit so they hit over a period of time.
Mm.
But yeah, brings us back around.
All that stuff. We've been through all that, the fact.
But because of that, and this is partly where part of the podcast sort of theories come from, and it's not solely ours. It's a very widespread theory, but it's something that we sort of
align with. We synthesized the data and came up with,
Well, we align with it,
though. We lean certain ways.
Yeah. But what we're getting at is the survivors of a cataclysm. Mm. And we were talking about it before the podcast, about the similarities in pyramidal structures across the world, you know, like I think there's something like 120 pyramids in Egypt.
And there's 300 in the Sudan. There's more, yeah, there's 300 in the Sudan.
Pretty much Egypt,
and then
per capita, has the least amount of
pyramids. Yeah, South America's got more.
There's some in like Africa. Oh, It's in the
Sudan.
Coasts.
It's in the Sudan.
Sudan, is it?
Yeah, there's like 300 pyramids in the Sudan.
Yeah, then there's like 300 something in China.
Yeah, the whole province in China is just made from pyramids.
I think there's 200 in South America.
Yeah, something like that.
Something along those lines. And the thing is, the foundations.
And all the other temples as well, and some of like the ones that are on the meridians here.
They're not pyramids,
however.
No, there's more structures involved in that.
But I think when we talked about that before the podcast too, so that's just an interpretation of something. You know what I mean?
Well, that's right. And that's what I was getting different. To. Exactly. But what the similarity is, and we've said this before, with all ancient megalithic structures, is the oldest is the most precise.
Yes.
And the oldest has the most in common.
Yes.
Now, this to me points straight back in the face of the dilution principle that we had before,
mm-hmm.
where you've got survivors, mm-hmm. right? The information is fresh from these knowledgeable survivors.
Mm.
They build with more precision and...
Well, more tools in the toolkit, I think, mate. You know what I mean?
100%,
mate. What did you say? Exactly. The iPad's got a solar charger or something like that.
I don't know, I come out with bullshit all the time.
The lasers still work.
That sounds something like me.
The lasers still work.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yes. So, the magic is strong, the force is strong with that one.
Mm.
But then slowly over time,
breaks down, man, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it, things get lost
yeah.
through communication.
Yeah.
They get passed down the line and the information gets diluted.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a scrappier version. Exactly. Of what
is actually possible,
we were able to muster up,
mm-hmm.
or not we, but the less knowledgeable sections of the world that have been visited by these survivors,
mm.
What the general population held,
mm.
they were able to come to a level, but never attain that mastery
mm.
that was apparent in that older civilization.
Exactly.
Which is weird.
And why would you line all these structures up? I mean...
Well, that's the other thing. How do you do that? You have to have some kind of simple knowledge of either astrology...
You would have had to have circumnavigated the globe, man.
Well, that's right. Well, you've got to be able to know longitude and latitude.
Mm.
Two things you need. You need a fucking watch and a sextant.
Yeah.
Because... latitude is measured in fucking minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know the time of the day to read the angle of the sun and shit like that. So even if these wise ancients just had what we would consider now as fucking, not primitive, but a bit archaic, seeming as though we've got global positioning satellites and stuff like that.
Mm.
But everything we have now... it's just made for more convenience.
Mm.
It's only made to make things more accessible to the masses.
Mm.
But if we had no power,
we're
fucked. Whereas it's almost the watch and the sextant variation is actually more knowledgeable.
Mm.
It's harder to do and harder to understand. So that's why we've created these new devices like GPS.
Mm.
But it's you can do it with no fucking power.
Mm.
It's all based off the power of the mind mm-hmm. to be able to read these instruments.
Observing the stars. I mean, we've talked about that heaps, you know, when there was no light, the stars are, you know.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, you know.
Oh, dude, yeah, the other day coming back from rock climbing.
Mm.
How good were those fucking stars? Yeah, what did we reckon we had? So we had like full 360 view around us.
Mm.
On the 2D plane, but when we probably had, because we weren't on top of a very high hill, so we probably didn't quite have 180
degrees.
Yeah, we reckon it was about 160 degrees though, because it was out the back on the flats, and it's big sky country out there, so you're able to see a fucking big view, and we're far enough out that any light pollution was very minimal.
Mm.
Like, I'm sure there's plenty of much darker places, but accessible within for a couple of hours of the city, I don't think so.
Mm.
We just get lucky because of the mountain range that we were out behind that blocks the city off.
Mm.
But yeah, just amazing. But and the biggest thing, I think, though, is I don't have a great understanding of constellations. I only know a few basic ones.
Yeah.
But as I turned through that 360, there were constellations I could see, yeah, but I don't know the name of. But it's like, they just beamed out at you.
This something, that's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can identify that. I mean, I think what we get stuck doing too, and we just sort of did it then, is we get stuck trying to compare these people that built these structures to us
now. Yeah.
And I wonder, I don't think we've got any fucking idea, personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there was a fork in the road at some point.
Yeah.
And we turned a different way to what they did.
Yeah.
And we grew through our what is now history on a different path with a different mindset. If you could go back to the start of our recorded history and come through with a slightly different mindset, you're going to end up in a different place or the same places at different times, because really what drives civilization is supply and demand.
That's right.
So the general thinking of the population drives the direction of that civilization. So if you had this other civilization that had some slightly different views, and they may have just navigated through in a different way.
And I think the thing you got to remember too, like, it can be, Egypt originally was founded, there was no money in Egypt. It was just, I do this for you, you do this for me. I'll give you some bread rolls, you know what I mean? Like, it was
it was a trade-based economy.
Yeah. If you think that was the original idea, you know, somewhere along the line, someone found gold, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, and that's, and then it became, a, you know, not greed-based, but, you know.
Well, see, the thing is with gold, right? The reason...
Gold, fascinating. We've talked a little bit about gold. I think...
But part of the reason it holds value is because it doesn't oxidize. See, we've spoken about this before too, like copper and gold are both soft, are both can be buffed to a high sheen, have a similar color, and yet gold across the world is more fanciful. Well, gold's just less reactive. So you can, if you make gold coins, they're not going to rust away.
Gold's gold, man.
Yeah, exactly. Copper oxidizes as well.
Wastes away.
Exactly. Everything oxidizes. Gold's just the least reactive. And the ancients, I believe, recognized that. And that's why gold held such a value. Because it's like an immortal metal. It doesn't change states very fast if you build shit out of gold. As long as it doesn't get crushed because it's soft, it will fucking be there. That's just a little side note about the whole fucking gold thing.
I think that with gold too, there's a deep-seated lust for gold in a lot of men. I mean, we spoke about this before. I've seen gold bars be poured, you know, and it's fucking mesmerizing, man. Like actually watching gold being poured, and there is something that stirs, and you're like,
But is that epigenetic?
Could be.
Has it been passed down through the line?
Yeah.
That knowledge of the fact that it's a valuable metal because it's immortal, in a way, you know, it's the longest lasting. Is that passed down through like the like DNA memory, basically? And is that why you have the lust for it now? Because you know the value that it's held for such a long time. Because of its properties. It's possible. Or is it just instinctual?
It could be, man. That's a whole different topic about why do we search for gold. There's a few different theories about that. And anyway, let's spew back on track. These sites, I mean, let's spew back on track and spew down. What why were they collecting that energy? I mean, the locations of some of these sites, the chances that it is that location is, you know...
Well, I have a small theory.
Or is that what stuff is supposed to be run off? You know what I mean? Are we supposed to harness that energy?
Yes. In a different manner. But how, yeah. Harnessing it efficiently.
Yes.
Is something that our fork in the road has limited our ability to understand.
Exactly.
And the thing is, like, just like the Great Pyramid so far unlocks at each level of knowledge.
But there's a lot of pyramids like that too, though. Of my research, I've sort of, you know, as I've been deep, sort of just duck diving every now and again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of pyramids around where their measurements and stuff like that add up to different, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Where just, they unlock the same as what the Great
Pyramid or a version does. Of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and we spoke, that was what we raised just before about the whole different forms coming from one idea. So let's say within the surviving civilization of Atlantis, I'm just going to pinpoint it, be specific. Let's call it Atlantis. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
The survivors from the destruction of Atlantis, they all had a knowledge of this structure that you're able to harness magnetic energies with, or harmonics with.
Yeah.
Well, that you get your 10 or 20 survivors, you get your 200 survivors, whatever.
Yeah.
But you get them split up on rafts across the world, whatever, however it happens.
Arcs.
And next minute, fucking, you're getting artists' renditions of what they believe.
Look, I mean, what's the story, man? There's a big flood coming.
Yeah.
Shit's going to go down.
Yeah. But let's go back straight onto the pyramids.
Mm.
I'm getting at the artist renditions of the pyramids.
Yes.
As in, they all take artistic license. They have a similar form, but what they're made out of, what their exterior shape is like step pyramids of South America and the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Yeah.
You can draw a straight line on those points on the outside and you still get the same pyramid
shape.
Still same. It's just these are stepped out.
Yeah.
Whereas the Great Pyramid's not.
Mm.
But you look at the silhouette, the outline.
It's the pyramids, man. They're all pyramidal structures.
That's why they're all called pyramids.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and that's
what it is. China are like earthen.
Yeah, some of them aren't. They reckon that there's stone underneath them.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Chinese are interesting. I think we do delved in. I want to research.
We've tried a little bit, but they're just—it's so closed.
Mm.
From memory, there was one dude in like the 70s who was able to get in and study the pyramids a little bit.
I think Graham went there. I'm pretty sure Graham went there.
Yeah, but how much studying was he able to see? This guy was able to, like, he was doing an archaeological dig before he got shut down and they closed it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may still be able to get in and see. Well, obviously, you can travel to China and when you're in China, you know, they're just like anyone else. I'll do anything for a buck.
Mm.
So, mind the pun. But, yeah, you could go sign up to, you know, a tourist vendor on the street and be like, I want to go see the pyramids. They're going to take you as close as they possibly can, but can you set up a dig and stuff like that?
No.
And so, from memory, it was only one dude that did.
Yeah. And that's where we get a lot of our pictures and stuff.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
And a lot of the data, you know. And the Chinese are fascinating. I mean, all these cultures, it just keeps coming back around to the fact that we're older than we think we are. You know, and as you say, how is it that the older they get, the more precise they get?
Mm. What's, well,
you know what I mean?
Is it 1/30th of a degree of misalignment on true north with the Great Pyramid?
Yes,
something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
your engineering degree is basically based on the pyramid. That's the first thing, you know.
Yeah.
High mathematics.
Precision measurement
is based off
the pyramid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so anyway, magnetic bloody vortices, man.
Yeah, so what's your theory? What's the energy? What's it been? Why would we collect it? How is it what powered the lasers, man?
No, what I actually think it is
sound guns, whatever we describe.
What I actually think it is it's like the
particle beam.
The Jupiter satellite. Was it the Jupiter satellite? The one they sent out with the recording.
Mm.
And it's like this thing etched in gold, etc., etc. So was the gold last.
Voyager.
Was it Voyager, was it? Mm. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I got mixed up. Maybe it got mixed up with the Lost in Space that's playing on Netflix at the moment. It's pretty good. Have a look. But they all fly Jupiters. Yeah, so maybe that's what I got mixed up with. But it's good, man. And the robot's fucking boss in it.
All right.
If you get to see it, man, that robot is fucking boss.
Thanks, Netflix.
What
are we using the energy for?
Well, like I said, man, it's the same thing as the Voyager. So it's just sending out a signal, radio signal, a frequency into space that other intelligent life form can pick up.
Mm.
Now, the reason why the sites are on ley lines or vortices is because those ley lines
focus the energy.
Are stronger pulses of magnetic energy, mm. right? And then the vortices is where you get them intersect.
Exactly. And right? If you use so a structure that magnifies them and then...
Exactly like we were saying before mm. about the funnel in the ear, and then it shoots it out into space.
And I wonder too, because if you look at a lot of these, they're ancient sites. A lot of them are missing capstones. A lot of them are missing some stuff, you know what I mean? Mm. So maybe mm. it's like the stone structure is there, but it needed a couple of little bits of, I suppose there's want of a better term, technology.
Yeah.
To help focus that energy.
Yeah. Well, you look at light, for instance, right? Even a laser gets larger the further you get away.
Yeah.
Because the photons slowly spread apart,
yeah.
So if you think about on the top of the pyramid with a capstone, if you focused all of that energy coming through the surface of the Earth, magnifying up through the pyramid,
mm.
and then emitting out of a point in that capstone on the top. So it's coming out at, I don't know, let's say the point was fucking the size of like a 20-cent piece, mm. right? So that's the size of your point. So that's what your energy's coming out of.
Ding.
Yeah. But as it gets further away, it spreads out and weakens.
Yeah.
So they focused it right down to that point.
Mm.
But then, on top of that, you add... So not only are you shooting out fucking...
Electromagnetic fields. Yeah.
Fields yeah. and waves. During the day, the sun catches on the pyramid.
Yeah, we talked about right? that. It reflects
and
we off talked it.
About the eight sides and the angle
yeah, exactly.
of... the sides of the pyramid. So imagine that big concave mirror
mm.
collecting those photons of light mm. and directing them up towards the tip of the pyramid. And that, just like radio waves, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've got carrier waves that carry the radio signal so the further.
Light, the light would actually carry the wave.
The light further. Helps carry the two energies yeah. combine and carry it further out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
that's my theory. Just plucked it off the top of my fucking head.
Can I lead you down a rabbit hole,
mate? You fucking don't even have to ask.
We've talked about the technology. Now we came to sound and light before, didn't we? That's what we decided. However, I just had a bit of a because that we no one knows what the tech is, and we've got our own theories.
Yeah.
Did they, like you just said, then? Harnessed light and understood the geomagnetic field to build these rocks to such precision? Because if they're actually harnessing the energy of the earth is the vibration. So if you have something that can alter that vibration with light to penetrate the area you need to penetrate,
mm-hmm.
there's your accurate cuts.
I'm starting to hear what you're saying.
As opposed to sound, because sound would be loud, man.
Yeah.
But if that's what we're talking about, these vortices, this is where this stuff intersects, that's where the points are, we know that. Maybe they're like batteries, man. Maybe they, like we talked about the Ark carrying the Great Pyramid,
well,
didn't we?
Yeah, well, you, exactly what we're saying. It's a magnification of two different types of energy.
Yeah.
Into a point. Now, if you can collect that and redirect it.
Exactly. If you can put a battery to it.
Yep.
Like hook up a bloody, you know.
Yeah.
Rechargeable battery.
Yeah.
Plug it into the laser tool.
Yeah. Yeah. And or then, like, then you what can... if what if you had something along the lines of, oh God, I can't believe I just did that. Fiber optic, right? Yeah. So you've got this thing shooting up to a point, and you on top, the capstone, right, actually has like an. Imagine if it has four sides, and the very top of it, the apex of where the four sides meet, is cut into like a round cylinder. Imagine that. And then you plug something over the top of that and it runs off.
No. Well, see, I think too, like obviously... No, I need a paper, mate.
Oh.
What I think too is, and not only, well, you'd have to be able to control it, right? There's no point sending a beam to the sky. Like, not only would it be...
No, there is a point, but it's not beneficial. You can't, you're not using it. Mm. But the point is, I think it's sending a signal out into space.
But I think
it's the same way as we did with the Voyager. Or the same way we listen for other extraterrestrial life or radio telescopes.
I'm totally with you. But I'm saying that maybe it was some sort of charging station as well, though, these structures, because they create energy, they magnify energy.
Oh, surely you can, whilst it's producing it up to the tip, surely it's tapping in, you can tap into it at different points.
And that's what I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Maybe where the chambers are situated at different areas.
Yeah.
In the Great Pyramid and other pyramids.
Mm. You know, and if you had that, that's the kind of tools, man. That actually makes more sense to me than sound and light. If you could harness the, the electromagnetic force or the geomagnetic forces of something, and you could alter the vibration, that there's the mortar, mate. That's your mortar. That we talked about using the sound and light, but if you use that energy to just to disrupt the vibration,
to create the mortar, because the liquefying of the granite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing you, man. Is that it? Is that the solution that we've been looking for?
Could be. It's a little bit out there, but
Oh, fucking, what isn't it this hour of night? when we record fucking podcasts in the witching hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything can happen.
And I think you're right, mate. I think there was a fork in the road where the last, something broke Knowing us, someone got pissed off and killed the dude who knew everything.
Yeah.
And then went, oh, fuck, what are we going to do now? However, we went down a different path.
Well, a different path in later in history, because their civilization's gone.
Yeah.
But, so we existed at the same time. Obviously, they elevated to a higher level than what we did sooner. And not only sooner than us, but on a different path to us. So we're only...
But that's the thing, was it sooner than us? Or, you know what I mean?
Well, yes, I think it was, because otherwise we'd all be survivors. You know what I'm saying?
Aren't we all survivors?
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is the way in which we were talking about survivors initially, as in survivors of Atlantis.
Yeah.
So if we were all escalated to that height, I think the trickle-down knowledge would have come sooner than what it did. So what I was saying was, let's say, though that civilization then intermingled with more hunter-gatherer type survivors.
Well, we've talked about that, passing the story on through myth and legend.
Exactly. And, so that's more the drip feeding. Instead of us all being survivors from an ancient advanced civilization, there were, well, just like now, there was a large broad section of culture. We've still got untouched tribes.
Yeah.
Very few, but there's very little contact. So we've got to, if you look at the world in the scope of people that live on it right now, from the top of the pile all the way down to
well, the supposed top of the pile.
Depends on which way you're looking at it, what you're using to measure the top of the pile. But all the way down to your hunter-gatherers that still exist now. So, no, that's what we're getting at, was survivors in the way in which we were saying survivors are Atlantean survivors. Yes, we were all survivors at one point.
Yeah.
But not from an ancient civilization. Hence, yeah, where the watering down of the knowledge came from. And that's the branch. They branched off. They civilized quicker. We civilized slower. They came across, advanced us a bit. We had this sudden jump in
agriculture,
agriculture, knowledge, philosophy, lots of different things. So, and what a, brings me right back around. I was struggling there for a bit. Something that I feel signifies the branch is the fact that we're trying to look for alien signals, as in with radio telescopes, They were trying to send out a signal. They were producing things to send out signals in 1,500 positions around the globe. Now, we've been talking about your perspective on a mirror ball and putting more pieces onto your mirror ball.
Yeah.
Well, let's change it from perspective for a second, and you're trying to get a fucking signal out.
It was many
fucking 120 in fucking Egypt, and 300 in China, 200 in South America, 300 in Sudan. You're increasing your chance.
Your dots on the, and the thing is, they all sort of are across the equator as well. Not quite though, that's the thing. And we did actually look at the where the poles were tonight, and they were shifted. And that brings us back around to one of the original theories that I wouldn't, we don't want to sit down, we just want to unpack this. Brings us back to the basketball theory. The
basketball theory.
I know where the basketball is.
Right. So the basketball theory started from were we pretty drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. It always helps to lubricate the fucking synapses. But, so we're
in the basketball.
In the basketball theory, you're spinning it on your finger, and when you tap the ball to speed it up a bit, it wobbles on its axis that you've created by spinning it on your finger. And what we were getting at was, what if once upon a time those monuments did line up across an equator before asteroidal impact caused the axis to shift?
Because what we were talking about, like they said, like it's at least a minimum of 5 strikes, if not 10 or 15, in the initial strike 13,000 years ago. We just got pummeled by something. Multiple pieces over the course of a couple of weeks.
Enough to melt the ice shelf that extended down over North America. Now, did it evaporate at all instantaneously on the first shot?
No.
Or did it, like, through series of strikes and stuff, happen over, like, a two-week period? Or something like that. But, yeah, still, you've got, A, the impacts, and, B, the shifting of the weight on the Earth's crust. Because you remove that 3 miles or 3 kilometres of ice.
2 miles.
2 miles, right.
2 miles.
That extended 3.2 km down to about, what was it, about New York?
Yeah.
Latitudinally?
Yeah.
So right down, Canada was just fucking gone, skis. All of northern United States was gone, skis.
Yeah.
And Randall Carson tips into this with a lot of his research on flood devastation that has been left across like Washington and the Great Lakes areas and stuff like that. That have previously thought to, some of the formations thought to be caused just by glaciers or smaller glacial melts. But his numbers that he's worked out from these like tide ripples that are 400 feet high and stuff like that. he's calculated out the amounts of water that would have to be running over those.
And I think the basketball theory lends in this as well.
Well, it definitely does, because it's impact not, it's and not, it's the removal exactly, of the weight.
Exactly, that's what I mean. It's not just the impact that would have made it shift. It's also the massive weight shift on the planet would have made it just go bananas. Oh, you know what I mean?
Shit, yeah.
You know, as you say, 400-foot wave and continent-wide wildfires as well.
Mm.
Like, just hottest hell on Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got nuclear blasts going off in your atmosphere.
Exactly.
Because that's the other thing, is that a lot of people are like, oh, where's the impact damage? Well, what if the impact damage, there is no impact damage because they exploded like fucking...
They have found impact proxies.
Proxies.
Yeah, they have.
Proxies.
Yeah.
But it's they don't have to be under an impact. There doesn't need to be a crater.
No. Well, if it's got to go through 2 miles of ice, it's, you know what I mean?
Like, well, that's a hell of it may not have even impacted is what I'm getting at.
It could have,
airburst, depending on what it was made out of, it could have airburst before it impacted. But if it's still holding the force of 150 nuclear warheads,
it's still going to do
a large amount of damage to that ice.
Unbelievable.
And if you're getting repeated attacks
over
a two-week period. Exactly.
Yeah.
If the first one only started a chain reaction, well, it's going to amplify every time you get another burst in that area.
Because
you've already now got melted ice, you've got water, it's warmer than what the ice is, etc. And then you throw more water onto it, it's just going to start this chain reaction.
And not to mention all the steam that's thrown into the atmosphere, creates rain and storms and fucking...
That's it, the precipitation that's thrown into the atmosphere. Yeah. 100%, man.
All the ash and the volcanoes would let go too, because you've just upended all the tectonic plates. Well,
what do they call it when the weight's lifted?
Isostatic depression.
That's the one. Yeah. So the mantle underneath the crust.
Oh, just...
Imagine the currents that are flowing around through that as the crust loads and unloads in one spot. It's going to be like a vacuum across that mantle, so it's going to be spinning fucking hot molten rock around.
You're
going to get pressure points like a fucking Yellowstone.
Yeah,
you know,
cold air,
because it's just lifted
that
whole fucking plate, and boom, well, you've got a fucking big fissure there, haven't you? Letting out some pressure.
So
you've got volcanoes on top of that, on top of these fucking nuclear bombs basically going off in the atmosphere.
All across the Northern Hemisphere, into Europe and Russia.
And like you say, the proxies with the fucking microspherals.
And nuclear glass.
And what are the fucking diamonds?
I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, they're all basically impact proxies. Yeah. So they're all indicators of impacts.
And that would have had to have done something to the Earth, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's basically the basketball theory unpacked.
Yeah, you know. It had to have shifted it a little bit, you know.
And were they all... So would that have brought those monuments into alignment once upon a time? Possibly. Possibly.
You know. And I think we might... what are they all pointing to, mate?
Well, this is a good thing. This is a good question, Triffin. So, well, if we look at the three pyramids in Giza, theory goes that they're aligned with Orion's Belt.
That's not a theory, that's what they are.
There's still people that dispute it.
I don't give a shit what they say.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's like...
There's the three stars, there's the pyramids.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
And the size goes with the brightness, and
it's like
the size of the pyramids goes with the brightness of the star. It's weird, man. I don't know. I just see a link there, eh?
Yeah.
It's fucking... Yeah, so anyway, no, I don't know how people fucking turn their nose up at it. And I think that's part of the problem. And it's the same with life, you know. The answers are always thrown up at you, but sometimes they're too obvious.
So I think... Yeah, you are right there. So...
To
end on the Earth grid stuff, I think there's something to it. I think there's something to Plato. We didn't really talk about Plato. We said we might save Plato for another day. We should do that, actually. We should look at Plato and Socrates, and we should do a philosophy.
Dude.
There's an idea. Let's do that.
Dude. It would be like a Sophomaniac's philosophy lesson.
Yeah, there you go.
It would be so fucking butchered.
Yeah.
And like philosophy students across the world are just going to like scream at their fucking speakers and just be like, stop! You're wrecking it! Remember that episode of fucking South Park? When the super awesome fucking they like kidnapped fucking Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Hang on. There was a new movie come out. The new Indiana Jones, and Cartman's like, stop it! You're raping him! That's what the philosophy students will be yelling at the fucking things. I'll be like, you are just murdering this. Stop it.
Oh, look, but I think we'll be okay.
We'll be fine. It'll be our version, man.
Exactly. It's our version, man.
It's our synthesis of the data from a non-educated philosophy student's perspective.
Exactly. It'll be fun. We'll load it up.
Put your pieces on your mirror ball, man.
Exactly. More perspectives, man. However, I think there is something to it, and I think there's more to say about why they are there and why is it magnifying it. And I reckon there's something to it. And I think for me, it is an advanced ancient civilization, built these structures for a reason, on these points for a reason. And we don't, our research turned up tonight, mate, but we didn't just cast the stones and see what happened. We did some solid research again about the Earth grid story. And there's no solid, you can't say whether it is or it isn't. However, to me, I think there's something to it.
Yeah. Seven yeses lead to a contract.
Yeah.
Which...
We had 38.
If we're talking coincidi.
Coincidi. Wow, is that a word?
I don't think it is.
It is now. It's straight in the dictionary.
Fucking oath it is.
Yeah.
The plural of coincidences.
Is coincidi. It is now.
That's what I'm making it.
Yeah. It's official, mate.
That's how we roll.
It's on the record.
But yeah.
38, you know what I mean? Like
coincidi.
I think And the 12, 1300, 14, 1500 pyramids around the world. You know what I mean? It's like, come on.
Yeah. There's huge coincidi.
Yeah. And look, they are all astronomically aligned. So guess what? We're going to leave it right there, aren't we, mate?
Shut it down, fuckbags.
Because guess what? There is a second part to this.
And you can catch it next week. Previously on...
Unlocking the Code. It's something, and it is one that we've been asked to do a few different times, haven't it? You know, it's like one of the only consistent requests we've had. Is to do it.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll leave you with it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Enjoy waiting for the world to change.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
See yous.
See, everything's gone wrong with the world, no, so lead it.